right, amen. Good to get good reports like that. All right, so as you know, we've been looking at salvation a little bit deeper, dive into the doctrines of salvation the last couple of weeks in Sunday school, and I knew I was going to do this to myself. The Sunday morning sermon we had recently covered about half of what we were going to cover this morning in Sunday school, so I kind of rearranged things a little bit, and this morning, instead of talking about the part of salvation that we're going to be talking about salvation versus sanctification. Now, we've talked about this before in this church. If you were a part of our discipleship series that we did, you've heard much of this, but it's just, you know, it's going through salvation. What? We good? All right. Yes, we're good. Yep. Going through salvation. You know, that's just one of those things that we want to cover it in its entirety and as thoroughly as we can. And so so we're going to recover this topic of sanctification. See if I can get this thing going. There we go. All right. I got nothing. Can you go make sure my lapel is not muted? Thank you. Well, it's good to have a sound guy. It's a blessing. I'm not running up there myself right now. All right. So sanctification and salvation. That's the thing we're going to be talking about this morning. For the Sunday school hour, we're going to kind of take a little bit of a deep dive into the doctrine, see what the difference is between the two and why it is so important to have it as a part of your life, that sanctification. And so we'll pray a little bit and then we'll dive right in for the Sunday school hour. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and all that you do for us and teach us through it. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Good? Nothing. The second button. Still nothing. All right, we'll deal with it between the services. No, I'm good on this end, but oh well. Technology. It can be fixed between the Sunday school and Sunday morning, so. We'll start by turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in our Bibles, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We have plenty to see this morning in this doctrine of sanctification. The reason that this is included, most people would understand that sanctification is, you know, when it comes to salvation, is something that, you know, there are really two different ways to view sanctification. There's the sanctification that God does in us, and there's sanctification that we are supposed to do ourselves. Salvation, we know, is an immediate thing. We know when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are saved. And that's it. There is no progression to that. I met a man one time who was he was genuinely just mixed up in his doctrine, and he thought that you had to profess salvation, but then you were more saved the more sanctified you became. And you were less saved the less sanctified you became. And I said, well, how does that work? You got like 15 different heavens you go to, and you know, you get to level 1, level 2, level 3. Like, and he didn't have an answer to that. He just didn't understand the implication of what he was saying. He didn't realize that that would cause doctrinal issues in other areas of faith. And so you can't make sanctification a part of salvation in that sense, because then, okay, who decides where the line is that, okay, now you're sanctified enough, now you're actually saved. So salvation and sanctification are two distinct things, but sanctification is something that ought to happen and begin immediately upon salvation. You get saved, and from that moment on, you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you've got a new desire in your heart and in your mind to worship God, to learn of God and of the Word of God. And from that moment on, we are to be sanctifying ourselves unto God. We are to be sanctifying God in our hearts. And we'll see what all that means here this morning. Sanctification is defined in two ways. First of all, the act of making holy. In an evangelical sense, the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world, and exalted to supreme love of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 talks about this. This is the act of God essentially sanctifying us to himself, the drawing of God towards Christ's likeness. This first definition can be applied to God's work in our lives, as we cannot, without the grace and help of God, make ourselves holy. So essentially, that first definition of sanctification is God making us more like Christ and God setting us aside for His service. When you take something, that second definition is setting us aside for His service, that consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. That's the second definition of sanctification. So first definition of sanctification is the act of making holy. I can't make myself holy and you can't make yourself holy. You can make yourself maybe better and I can make myself maybe better, but I can't make myself holy, at least holy compared to God. We know that to be the case. So that's what God does in us upon salvation. But when it comes to sanctification, what we most often talk about is that second portion where God is setting us aside for His use and His service, and where we, in turn, are supposed to set God aside in our lives to have a special place as well. We are supposed to be sanctified to God, and God is supposed to be sanctified unto us. And so if you think about this, this act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I know we're skipping over that 2 Thessalonians. I apologize for that. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to get into this because it's more what we see and use the word as today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 5. The Bible says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted God in God." I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse there. Man, I'm on a good start this morning. First Peter chapter 1. There we go. Get my bearings here. So we have the definitions. We have the act of making holy. That's something God does and continues to do. He continues to work on us, and he is limited only in how much we allow Him to do. Meaning God wants to make us like His Son. He wants to make us perfect in Christ, but He doesn't force it upon us. We only go as far as we allow Him to take us. It's like a parent, you know, pulling a kid along to go somewhere. That kid can go along fighting and screaming, or that kid can go along willingly. I think there's a lot of Christians fighting and screaming against God when He's trying to make them holy and trying to make them, you know, set aside for His use, and they're saying, no, I want to go back this way. And so sanctification, the act of making holy, that's God. The act of consecrating and setting aside for a sacred purpose, that's the Lord. The simplest way I know to describe sanctification is not just not living for the world, which is separation. You know, you can't just stop living for the world and not change anything else, because then you're just not living. You're just trying to go through life, you know, with no attachments. But if you're sanctifying yourself, then you are choosing to live for God. You've taken the world that you live for and replaced it with the Lord. That's sanctification, living for God and trying to live for God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18, is a reminder for us. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We know that we are a purchased possession. We know that we are, all of us, every Christian is that purchased possession of God, and therefore every Christian is expected by God to be sanctified. It's not just something for those who are, you know, the super Christians and those who are the prayer warriors and those who are the pastors and teachers and deacons and all these things. Sanctification is something that is for every Christian. There's so many things that I think Christianity today in America, we decide, well, that's only for those people and that's only for, but 99% of it is for all of us. There's very few things that are in the Word of God that are just for somebody that isn't you. Now, if you are not a pastor and there's a passage that's for a pastor, you can still learn from that, but it's, you know, obviously the context is a pastor. And so I understand that, but there's a lot more verses than just what's given in the pastoral epistles where people claim, oh, that's not for me, but really it is. Sanctification's for everybody. Holy living is for everybody. Prayer, fervent prayer is for everybody. Giving is for everybody. Like, all these things, we can't just pick and choose which parts of it we want to partake in. All these things, like witnessing, everybody's supposed to do these things. And sanctification is one of those things. It's a very important one of those things, as if we refuse it. Then we make ourselves unusable for God. If we don't allow Him to set us apart and make us meet for His use, then we've essentially told Him, thanks for saving us, but I want nothing to do with you. That's not a very good attitude to take. That's not a very good stance to stand upon. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then Galatians chapter 2. We'll run a couple of more references here. 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 2. We are all a purchased possession. We are all saved by grace through faith. And so we all owe it to God to allow Him to sanctify us to Himself, to allow Him to mold and make us into what He would have us to be, because we are not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's a very good verse to memorize. It's a very good verse to remind ourselves of every single morning, that we are God's. I am not my own. I belong to Him, and therefore I ought to behave as though I belong to Him. You know, what I'm going to do today, how I'm going to act today, where I'm going to go today, all of that needs to be filtered through the idea that I am not my own. I am not making my own decisions. God is making them for me. I need to follow His lead and His guide and make sure that I am setting apart myself for His use the best that I can, and setting apart Him in my life the best that I can. People forget that we're supposed to sanctify God in our hearts, not just allow God to sanctify us to Himself, but to sanctify God in our own hearts, meaning to set Him aside and give Him a special place and purpose in our lives. So a lot of people who claim Christ, but there's no place for God in their life. Their day-to-day life, He's absent. He's not allowed in there because, well, I do things the way I want to do them. And that's not sanctification. That's maybe you got saved, but you missed the point somewhere along the line, and you've decided to live for you instead of for God. And you'll never be sanctified with that attitude. Now, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 19, the Bible says here, Galatians 2, 19, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." The Bible says here, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he said that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he's saying, I don't live for myself anymore. I live for Christ. I am crucified. My flesh, I have to put that flesh to death so that I can live for Christ. That's what sanctification is. It's saying I'm not going to follow after my own things. I'm not going to live after my own desires. I'm going to follow after Christ. And I'm going to let the Spirit of God, which is in me, and the faith of Christ, which is in me, guide my decision making instead of my wicked, sinful flesh. Now, 1 Peter chapter number 2 and Romans chapter 14. 1 Peter 2. Romans 14. We have several commands and information like this from the Word of God that tells us to be sanctified, tells us to be set apart and meet for the Master's use. We want to obey these things. We just have to make sure we understand that though it is something that ought to take place when we are saved and after we are saved and continue, it is not something that saves us or makes us more saved. It just makes us closer, closer and closer to God, closer and closer to Christ, like we're supposed to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. 1 Peter 2, 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So again, just like what we read in Galatians, being dead to sin, so that we can live unto righteousness. If we don't crucify our flesh, if we don't crucify our desires and our wants and our wishes so that we can live unto God, then we won't ever live unto God the way we should. You'd see this struggle all the time with young people where they'd say, you know, "Today I really want to live for God. You know, I'm really excited about my salvation. I'm thankful for what God has done for me." And then they meet a girl, and then they get a job, and then they find a brand new shiny truck, or they make the football team, or whatever it may be. And all of a sudden it's, "Well, I'm going to live for God and this. And I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to divide my time between God and this other thing." And you can't do that. You can't be an effective Christian. You can't be pleasing to God when you've got one foot in church and one in the world. You got one, you know, one knee is bowing the knee to God in prayer, and one knee is bowing the knee to the worship of your sports and your hobby and your TV and your job and money and all these other things. To be sanctified is to go from living for the world to living for God and nothing in between. There is no, well, I'm going to be half sanctified. It's a process. It takes us time to get there. You don't just, you know, wake up one day and I'm saved and I'm just going to live for God. And from then on, you never make another mistake. That doesn't happen. It'd be nice. But when we're sanctifying ourselves unto God and trying to live more for God, sometimes we trip up. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we start to lose focus and somebody has to correct us and bring us back to the right focus. That's all fine. But the point is we need to keep crucifying ourselves and keep dying to our sin and to our flesh so that we can keep living for God more and more. Romans 14, verse number 8, the Bible says here, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." That's a good attitude to have. It says, if I'm going to be alive, I'm going to live for God. If I'm going to die, well, then I'm God's anyway. So either whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. I belong to Him. The reason I'm harping on this is because God can't properly sanctify us to Himself if we don't allow Him to. He does not force us to do things. He may bring some trials. He may bring some tests along our way to try and push us in the right direction. And thank God for that. But He doesn't force us to be sanctified. If He did, there'd be a whole lot more pastors and missionaries and faithful Christian wives and teachers and all these things. Because there's a lot more need than there is supply. Even in Christ's day, He said, pray God a harvest. The laborers are few. If the laborers were few then, it's continued. I don't know that there's ever been a time in history where we've said, there's a plenty of laborers. There's missionaries everywhere. There's preachers everywhere. There's no church in need of a pastor. There's no church in need of an assistant. There's no town in need of the gospel. We've got everything we need. No, it's never been close to that. There are people today that God has called them to do something and God has given them a gift or an ability, whether it be to preach or to teach or to witness. And they may not be living for the world, but they're not doing what God has called them to be doing. They're not allowing their whole life to be sanctified and set apart for His use. And so there's a gap, there's a void somewhere in the army of God that isn't being filled. And it's a scary thought to think about how many souls are going to die and go to hell because somebody refused to do what God wanted them to do. I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be somebody who has other people's blood on my hands because I said, God, today I'm living for me and not for you. That's not what I want to see in my life. Now, considering that sanctification in the life of a believer is consecrating ourselves for God's use, no believer can claim that saved and not sanctified is pleasing to God. If you do much outreach or visitation or things like that, or even maybe in your own personal life, you know people like this, you meet somebody, undoubtedly, who doesn't go to church, doesn't see a need for church, but claims to have this wonderful walk with God. You know, I do my own thing, and, you know, our family, we don't need church to be right with God. Okay, what you just said is we don't need to obey God to be right with God. They don't see it that way, but the Bible says, find yourself other believers and fellowship with them. And so it's amazing to me how people can convince themselves that they're in a right relationship with God while not allowing God to do anything through them, not allowing God to have any bit of their life, not allowing God to have 1 hour a week of service or of time with Him. And they're convinced that they're in this great walk with God. I talked to somebody last summer. You know, we were standing in the guy's yard and I was talking to him, and the whole conversation was just from the get-go. You could tell he was under conviction because the first thing he wanted to talk about was how good his walk with God was. But he doesn't go to church. Their family doesn't do devotions. All these things that he said, you know, he doesn't read the Bible every day, doesn't pray every day. Just, you know, but God's good with me and I'm good with God. It's that mindset that God's my buddy and He's there when I need Him. And other than that, He can just, you know, do whatever. That's not a sanctified life. And knowing what Christ did to purchase us, how could we ever assume that God is okay with that? But God doesn't want every person to be a pastor. God doesn't want every person to be a missionary. But God does want every Christian to be sanctified. He does want us to be set aside for His use, whatever that use may be. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then, that's good for now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sanctification is something that's near and dear to my heart because I've been a useless Christian before in my life. That sounds bad. When I was, growing up, I grew up in a good church. I grew up, knowing the gospel. There was some time in my life where we were church shopping and stuff, but for the most part, from a very young age, from about 3 years old, I knew the gospel. And it wasn't until I was 15 that I actually cared about it. I actually did anything about it. God got a hold of my heart and essentially sanctified me unto Himself, and I stopped living for myself best as I could and started living for the Lord, reading my Bible and praying and witnessing and all these things. That all happened when I was 15. But from 3 years old to 15, I can't think of a single thing I did for God. I can't think of a single person I invited to church or anything like that. I don't know, maybe I did. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I've been that person before that just shows up because that's where we go on Sundays. And that just shows up because, well, they have games to play at Awana's or they're going to give me candy at the youth rally, and I've been that kid. But once you allow God to sanctify you to Himself, once you allow God to take that lead role in your life and make you more like Him, everything changes. And it changes for the better. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20, the Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And what we just read there is essentially, if we will purge ourselves from the things that ought not be in our life, then that is part of sanctification. That sanctifies us unto God and makes us meet for His use. So there's a part of sanctification that God does because we can't make ourselves holy. There's a part of sanctification that God is involved in all of it because He is the one that convicts us, guides us, leads us, and shows us which direction we need to go. But sanctification differs from salvation in the sense that it requires us to do the work to get there. Salvation, all that's required of us is faith in trust in Christ. And God does the leading there too. God does the saving there too. But all we need to do is trust Christ and have faith, and we're saved. Sanctification, it's not just, well, trust Christ and have faith and you're sanctified. No, it's allow God to tell you, stop doing this, stop doing that, and start doing this. So sanctification is something that a lot of people, I believe a lot of people get saved. And they have every intention of living for God. And the more they get into their Bible, the more they see, okay, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that. God says I shouldn't do this anymore and I shouldn't do that anymore. And they allow themselves to go so far down that road, and then they just stop and say, okay, this is enough. I'm sanctified enough. I'm set apart enough. And they don't let God continue to work on them. It's like the clay telling the potter, it's spinning on that wheel and he's forming it and making it. And then the clay says, well, this is good enough. The potter was going to make it into something magnificent, but they settled for, a bowl. It's like, well, you could have been a massive vase or vase or whatever you want to say. You could have been some great work of art, and you decided you'd be okay being a coaster. And you just said, okay, stop touching me, stop messing with me, stop molding me, I don't like this anymore. You still belong to the master, still belong to the potter, but you're not what you could have been. And that's where, for me, it's hard as a pastor and as a youth pastor, I learned to see potential in people. And as mean as I may sound sometimes, I there's not a single person I've ever met that I've never seen potential in. Because we have examples like Paul in the Bible. You could look at Paul before he was saved and say, how could God ever use that man? What God saw was his faithfulness. He was very faithful to killing Christians. He was very faithful to persecuting Christians, and he was doing it because he thought he was obeying the law of God, and God saw his heart, and God saw his faith. faithfulness and said, okay, I'm going to use that, put him in the ministry. Now, instead of being faithful to fighting Christianity, he's going to be faithful to proclaiming Christianity. So using that as a benchmark, we can look at the world and say, you know what? That person's a mess. But if they get saved, boy, just their salvation could preach to people. Just their conversion could be a convincing factor to their friends or their family or people that know them. And everybody, there's some potential that God can use in every person's life. And you know, as a leader, you're supposed to look and see, okay, what do we think this person could do or could handle, or, you know, what could they take part in, or how could they serve? And the hard part about that is, you know, the Lord kind of gives you some insight into what everybody could be doing or should be doing. And the trick is getting them to do it. The trick is getting them to have any desire to do it at all. Most churches that have outreach activities like door knock and things like that, the percentage of participation is like 5%. It's very, very low. Most churches have just done away with it. And they haven't done away with it because it doesn't work, and they haven't done away with it because it's not something God commands them to do. Outreach is something we ought to do. They've done away with it because nobody shows up. There have been times, and I was at a great church, but there were still times up at Faith where you know, we'd tell the whole youth group, we'd tell the whole church, hey, we're going to go to this U of M game. We're going to hand out tracts. We're going to hand out Bibles. Come and join us. It'll be great. And there was one time where I showed up and two brothers showed up. And we were like, man, where is everybody? And of course, you know, everybody's got a good reason, a good excuse. And we were really doing a lot that year and all that. But, you know, sometimes that happens. And you're just like, well, it's just going to be us today. A lot of churches, they started having two people show up and three people show up and one person show up. And then it was just the pastor, and he got tired of doing it alone. And now there's not many, many churches left that do any kind of outreach. And so that's the trouble is, you know, when we're saved, we're supposed to be sanctifying ourselves unto God and allowing God to sanctify us to himself. And that is essentially saying, Lord, use me. Make me into something that's usable for you. And when people don't do that, when people don't allow God to mold them and make them, then you lose all that work. You lose all that effort. You lose all the laborers that could have been out doing something for God. They're sitting at home. They're sitting at work. They're at the sports game. They're doing whatever the world is doing because they haven't sanctified themselves unto God. And it's a disappointing thing to see how many millions of people claim the name of Christ across this nation, and then to see how few people are serving. The need is so great, but the laborers are so few. I talked to somebody the other day and reminded them, you know, if God's called you to do something and you're not doing it, why? You know, there's a problem. You may not be living in gross sin, but if you're not doing what God called you to do, why aren't you? You know, get in the game. There's a lot to be done. Now, where are we at here? Second, sanctification, salvation, the difference, of course, should be clear. Salvation is instantaneous. Salvation is, you know, faith is what's required. Sanctification is a process, essentially. When it comes to becoming more like Christ, being set apart by God, God will sanctify us in a moment. God will give us something to do. God will make us meet for his use, but it does take time for us to allow God to reveal to us what, you know, what needs to be changed, what needs to be done. I was talking to a preacher yesterday. I was driving home from Michigan. It's a 4.5-hour drive if you don't make a single stop. I had three dogs in the car with me. They're not very good for conversation. And I don't know about you, but when I'm driving, sometimes it's easy to just go and just take a nap. Now, I don't do that while I'm driving, at least I try not to. But one of the things that keeps me awake is you know, talking to somebody, because you're engaging your brain. You know, you're talking. And so I was like, you know what? There's a preacher friend I haven't called in a while. I called him. We talked for 3 hours driving down the road. Now, I was just driving down the road, so I didn't care. But I'm sure he had better things to be doing. But we were talking, and he was telling me a story. He said, you know, he had a brother at his church. This guy got saved, and they're down by the coast. And he said, this man, he said he came to church and he just had like shorts on. And he said for a year, the guy came to church with just shorts on. And then one day it just clicked and he realized I'm the only guy with shorts on. And he started coming to church with a suit and tie. Now, I'm not preaching against, you know, anything specific here. I'm just saying he was saying, you know, the Lord revealed. He said, I didn't go after the guy. The Lord revealed it to him. I know a guy that, you know, he came in, he got saved one time up at Faith. And after a couple of weeks, the guy had had earrings. He had had long hair. He had had all kinds. I mean, he just looked rough. And nobody said a thing to him about how he looked. Nobody said a thing to him about this is how you're supposed to look at church. And all of a sudden, he just started coming to church. We didn't recognize him. He had cut his hair. He had shaved. He trimmed up. Everything looked nicer. And he was wearing nicer stuff because, you know, the Lord just impressed upon his heart. If I'm going to go meet with God, I probably should, you know, try to look a little nicer than I do now. And I'm not preaching on that right now. I'm just saying, you know, when we allow God to sanctify us, you know, it doesn't take a pastor pounding a pulpit to get us to do something. The Lord works on that. The Lord processes that. There are people that have gone to church for years and then finally it clicked and they said, you know what, I'm done with the alcohol. They probably heard 10 messages on it, but it just, at one point, finally the Holy Spirit got through to them. They said, all right, I'm done with it. You know, people go to church all this time, so they're living in sin, and then the Lord reveals it to them, and they say, you know what, I'm going to give that up to God. That's sanctification. That's allowing God to change you, to mold you, to make you. The sanctifying ourselves to God, it's not just a command, but it's something that we were created and saved for. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible, you know, of course, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are very common verses. Let's go there because I'm going to read to you another one. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but we're also going to read verse number 10. Sometimes you miss a blessing by just, you know, reading the ones that you're used to. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the Bible says we are his workmanship and we were created not just because, you know, not for no reason, but we were created unto good works. And sanctification all of it is good works. It's God saying, okay, take this away. And we say, okay, I'll take that away. Okay, add this in. Okay, I'm going to add that in. Sanctification, unlike salvation, we have a role to play in a works sense. Salvation, faith, and God saves us. Sanctification, God guides us, and we have to do the work to follow that leading and that guiding and say, all right, Lord, you want this edge knocked off? You want this edge trimmed up? I'm gonna do these things because I'm allowing you to make me into what you want me to be. He still guides us and tells us and directs us what to do, but it requires us to actually do something more than just have faith. And that's where the hang up is. A lot of people, they say, well, I just have faith in God and that's enough. That's enough to get into heaven. That's enough to be saved from your sin, to have faith in Christ. But that's not how sanctification works. Sanctification is you working with God at his discretion and at his guidance to become what he wants you to be. And it's something that we all need to do. Practicing sanctification in our life is pretty simple. Hebrews 10:10, we got to be saved. Got to be saved. You can't skip the first step. You can't skip over salvation and try to be sanctified unto God because, well, you don't know him. You can try to play the part. A lot of people get really good. Especially if you grow up in church, you get really good at playing the part. And you walk around like you look like you're sanctified. You're doing all the right things, saying all the right things, wearing all the expected things and all these stuff. But you skip the first step of salvation. So you can't really sanctify yourself unto God because you don't know what he wants to make you into to be. He might want to make you a missionary. He might want to make you a pastor. He might want to make you something specific, and you're just guessing at it. I've met a lot of people, especially young people, who they skipped the first step. They weren't saved, but they were trying to live for God. Nothing wrong with trying to live for God, but first you got to find out who he is. So you got to be saved, and then in Ephesians chapter 5, it reminds us we got to be study. God can't sanctify us and make us meet for his use if we don't get in the Bible and find out what that is. You know, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we not supposed to be doing? How does it look? You know, how does a Christian behave? How does a Christian not behave? all that is found in this book. And if we're not in this book, we're going to have a hard time being sanctified. John 17:17, Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You can't leave the Bible out and expect to be sanctified. It doesn't work. 1 Peter chapter 3, this is our last stop. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 15. So this is where I mentioned before, you know, we have sanctification on our part and on our end where we allow God to make us what we ought to be for Him. But here we have the other side of the coin. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason to hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we got to let God make us what He wants to be and set us aside for His use. But we also have to set God aside in our life to have a special place in our heart. Not in the same way that, you know, oh, we're setting God aside for our use. You know, that's not good. That's what a lot of people do. I'm going to put God in my pocket until I need to use Him for something. That's not right. What we need to do is say, you know what, I'm going to put God in this place in my life, and it's a place of control. It's a place of preeminence. And I'm going to sanctify God in my heart so that I can be sanctified to God. I'm going to take God and make Him priority in my life and make Him preeminent in my life and give Him this position and this place in my life so that He can do for me what He needs to do for me. So sanctification kind of goes both ways in that sense. The Bible says in James 4:8 that if we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. With sanctification, He has already sanctified us, and in return desires us to sanctify Him in our hearts and lives, consecrate Him, give Him special purpose in us. The more we practice sanctification, the more we allow God to mold us and make us, the more we dive into the Word and allow it to guide us and give us truth, the closer and closer to Christ we become, the closer and closer to looking like Christ we become, the closer and closer to sounding like Christ we become, the closer and closer to behaving like Christ we become. We cannot expect people to behave in a biblical fashion if they don't allow God to guide them and sanctify them. And there's a lot of people out there that don't even have a Bible, not a real one. They have some crazy perversion of the Bible. And so they're looking in here saying, how do I get sanctified to God? And there's no answers because they've stripped everything out that's important. And they never can get there. They think they're serving God. They think they're doing what God wants them to do, but they're not. They're not making the mark because they're not using the Word of God to guide them into that truth. So sanctification, it's not salvation, but it should be an evidence of salvation. If we're saved, we ought to be sanctifying ourselves unto God and sanctifying God in our hearts. And if we're saved and we're refusing to allow God to sanctify us, there's no excuse for that. There's no reason for that. There's no person on earth that can say, I'm done with sanctification. God has made me exactly what He wants me to be. I'm perfect. That's if you've gotten to that point, congratulations. I haven't. We need to allow God to continue to work in us. That's sanctification. In relation to salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word that we can study together. Help us to always desire to be sanctified unto You more and more every day. Help us to sanctify You in our hearts, Lord, and give You that preeminent place. Lord, help us to have that desire.